Hello, everyone, and welcome to Global Expression Podcast.
MVP, one of my favorites.
Hi, everyone. My name is Esther. I am from Hungary, and I am majoring in government and law, and maybe looking to major in psych. So, Sean, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm Sean. I come from China. My major is electrical and computer engineering.
Hi, I'm Alda. I'm from Ethiopia. I'm a prospective econ and math major. Yeah, that's about me.
So today we're going to talk about weird foods, especially kind of like comparing weird foods from our homes to weird foods what we have seen here in the US. We're going to talk a little bit about our favorite traditional foods from our home countries, and then kind of compare those to what we have seen here since we've been here these past couple of months.
Yeah.
So let's start actually with just like staple foods from our respective countries. So Alda, if you want to start kind of sharing.
Yeah, okay. So on a daily basis, we eat something called injera. It's made with teff flour, so it's like gluten-free. And it's flatbread, so it's like baked on hot clay. And it has something called eyes. You know how when you like bake pancakes, mm-hmm. you get this like holes in it because of the bubbles? It has like thousands of them. And it's very thin. I would describe it as being a bit sour if you eat it alone, but you usually eat it with stew and you eat with your hands. And so the stew is very spicy, so it complements like the sourness flavor. And that's what I'm used to. Like, you eat it with everything, with vegetables, with stew, with everything. So that's what I'm used to eating.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
I mean, at home, I think one of the main ingredients that we use, or traditional cooking uses rather, is any type of like potatoes, and we are like very heavy with eating meat, so especially beef and chicken and turkey. So we're like a big meat eater nation, I would say. But we also have some spices, which, like, for example, the paprika, which there is like a tradition, like the smoked paprika actually comes from Hungary. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How about you, Sean? Like,
okay, so the main ingredient in our country is rice. We usually eat rice every day, or noodles, and then we have other meals, like we use tomatoes and eggs, and we fry them together, so something like that.
Yeah, that's cool. How about like spices from your hometown? What kind of spices do people eat? Is like food really spicy?
Oh yeah, I really like spicy food. We have like hundreds of spices food in my hometown, and I really love them. One is like kind of lobster, then spicy lobster, so it's really, really delicious.
How about you, Esther? Do you guys eat spicy food?
I would say so, yes. It's not like very traditional to eat. Like, it's not that we use it with all of our meals, but there are couple of them which come with like spices, and we have this we have this jar of like basically like liquid, or like almost like liquid, it's like kind of like a paste. Okay. Like a paprika paste, which yeah. is like kind of spicy, and like some people eat that with like just simple bread by itself. Mm. Some people will put that in soups, things like that. So yeah
I feel like we have the same thing. For us, it's like, it's kind of like paprika too, mm-hmm. but they make it with like water and several spices, and they let it ferment there for a couple of days. And then like when it gets fermented, it gets more like bitter, and more tangy, I guess, and it's more spicy, so that's what, like, people eat. How about you, Sean? Do you guys have any, like, paste, like, spicy things?
So, we have a certain kind of things, like, we fry our peppers, then we add them with salt beans, then we put them into a sauce. So, like, I have that sauce in my fridge in my home. So, every meal, I will take that out, then put them in some mirrors on my rice, so I eat them together.
Do you guys think that the food here is spicy enough?
Absolutely not. Just
yeah, I feel like most of the food I eat, I'm like, where is the spice?
Yeah.
The biggest one has been eggs. They're just plain fried, and I genuinely cannot eat just plain fried.
It's not even fried.
That is true. I'm not also used to, like, liquid eggs. They're not very solid. And no matter how much, like, pepper I add from the dining, like, table, it just never tastes, like, good. So I just don't eat the eggs.
Yeah, they all use salt and pepper there.
So, yeah, I think we can talk about the transition in terms of food. So first, like, what was our favorite foods? Like, we should talk about it from back home. And then we can talk about the things that we experienced in terms of food when we got here. So you can start. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. My favorite food from home is a poppy seeded pasta. So it's pasta with poppy seeds and a little bit of, like, powdered sugar. But, like, it's a little bit different than poppy seeds here. Because here, poppy seeds are just, like, complete poppy seeds. But at home, they grind it. So it has a little bit of a different flavor, which I love. So it's definitely not something that I would get here. But at home, I genuinely love it, yeah.
Okay, so my favorite food in my home is hot pot. So it's like you put the vegetables and meat and all the stuff you like in one hot pot. Then you add the sausage you love. It can be spicy or not spicy. My personal favorite is tomato. And that one is really, really good. I recommend that one. So it's like you can eat all the stuff you like and you have the good spicy. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I have a lot of favorite foods. I think my most favorite is, like, the holiday food. It might come as, like, a bit of a shocker to other people, but we kind of eat raw meat. But it's seasoned with, like, butter and a lot of, like, different spices. So Ethiopia is, like, multiple cultures within the country. So it's called kitfo. It's, like, literally very finely ground meat. And then they add... they kind of stir it over heat for, like, a little time. You can also eat it raw, but they add butter and, like, bajillion spices. And then you eat it with this fibrous thing called gojo. It's basically, it's made from the stem of, like, false banana plants. They grind, like, the stem of the banana. Like, they kind of peel it off in layers. And they pack it into this ball. And the traditional way they used to do it is they keep it together. And sometimes they put it in water as well. And then you can bake that over, like, clay, like, hot clay, to make this. It's kind of fibrous. It looks kind of translucent. It's grayish. And then you eat that with the raw meat. And I feel like that's my favorite. But I can't eat a lot of it because it's very buttery. And it's very oily.
So we have a traditional festival in China. It's called Spring Festival. It's usually during the New Year. So my grandmother, she always fried meatballs, and I eat it from, like, 5 years old to now, and I really memorize that taste. So it's like you put the meat and the different spices together with some, and then you put them into oil, then you fry them, you get out. You have to taste the fat when it just comes from the oil pot. It's really, really good.
No, that's cool. So considering holiday festivities, What kind of holidays do you guys like celebrate at home, like the bigger holidays, and what kind of, is there like a food associated with, you know, what we eat?
Yeah, I feel like one of our like biggest holidays, especially coming up, is definitely Christmas. I wouldn't say that we have like very traditional Christmas food, but there are a couple of things that we would eat during that time. So for example, one of them is like basically like a fish soup. And then there are desserts that we would eat around that time, but we also have something connected to New Year's Eve, where like it's more like the first day of the new year, which is like a stew with lentils, so like a lentil stew, because the meaning behind that is that if you eat it on the first day, you will have, you know, or you will be lucky throughout the year, which I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, I have similar experiences. So Ethiopian New Year is different from like Gregorian calendar. We follow the Ethiopian calendar. So the New Year is around mid-September in Gregorian calendar. And there's this like really, really sour food. It's called feto. I don't know what it's called in English. But it's this kind of seed. And then they put some injera in the stew in it. It's very sour, I tell you. And then very early in the morning, your mom will wake you up and you will eat it. It's very sour. It's very bitter. But it's supposed to, I think, essentially, I'm not really sure, but it's supposed to cleanse you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you walk into the new year with, like, a fresh body, I guess. But it's very sour. I hated it. Oh, my God.
Did you do it this year?
No, because I was here.
Yeah, but, like, were you happy you didn't have to?
Yes, I was happy. Yeah, that was holiday season. Because we also follow a different calendar, we also have a different Christmas. So I'm actually born on Christmas, an Ethiopian Christmas. It's January 7th or 8th, depending on whether it's the leap year or not. And I think my favorite holiday food, it has to be something called doroet. It's basically stew again, but it's made with like a lot of spices and it's very, very spicy. And they put chicken in it. So, like, you get the whole chicken, and then you separate it into, like, 12 parts, and you wash the chicken. It's, like, a whole lot of process from, like, usually people get live chicken, and people, like, make the chicken from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, like, a three-day festivity of making the food, and you'll always be smelling it in your room. Like, that's how you know. And in everybody's yards, you'll hear these chickens, like, crowing like crazy. And you're like, oh, it's holiday season. That's how the festivity begins. And, like, holiday music comes up and all the advertisements and everything. And you're like, oh, this is really holiday season.
Yeah, I feel like that, like, all of our countries, or in all of our countries, we eat different, like, stews a lot. Yeah. We don't see them here, right? At least,
yeah.
Not that, even if we see them, it's just like, it's not even like not the same, but it's just not good.
Speaking of stews, has anybody had like any soups or like liquid kind of food from the dining halls here? What is your
experience? I was not brave enough. No.
Me too. And something that was like kind of surprising for me is that they had crackers with the soup, and there was also like diced bread, and it was like toasted, and there was garlic bread, and I was like, this is very confusing. I'm not used to the soup culture. So my mom actually likes soup. It's not really very traditional, but my mom makes soup and like she eats it, so I'm kind of used to having soup, but I'm not really a soup person. So like eating liquid foods is kind of new to me. I would say that it's also very specific to me because I feel like Ethiopia is very diverse, so depending on where you go, you're going to have different culinary experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But for my upbringing, and I was brought up in the capital, I think for people in the capital, people eat like different kinds of food from all kinds of places, but just liquid food was not something I was used to, and it's kind of weird to see people eat crackers with soup and all that. But
so how would like a traditional, I don't know if it's traditional or not, but like how would like a full meal, which is like a full out meal, look like to you?
A full meal depends again on where you go, but for my family and like where I was brought up, there's injera always. You roll them up and then you roll the injera up and you cut it up. So there's that served. There's usually some kind of stew that's associated with the injera. So you can have like one or two kinds of stew. There's one, it's called shiro. So for people who follow the Ethiopian Orthodox religion, we have like these huge chunks of fasting time where you're basically vegan except you eat honey. That's the only difference. And so shiro is made from chickpeas. It's like dried chickpeas, and they dry garlic and pepper and bunch of other spices and salt. And you take it to the flour mill to be grounded. So basically it's ground. And how you do it is like you dice up some onions, you put in hot oil, and then you put some water, like a lot of water, and then you wait for the water to boil, and then you put the flour in, and then it kind of like bubbles and thickens on its own. You just leave it there and stir it occasionally. That's my favorite food, I'd say, from like the fasting season. So there's most usually also on Wednesdays and Fridays in my family, we used to have that one. And there's multiple types of vegetable usually. There's cabbage. Cabbage is a favorite. Sometimes we have spinach. Kale greens are very common. Collard greens. Those two are usually, we used to have them in the backyard. There's also asparagus and beans. But like, I feel like maybe it's not asparagus because the asparagus here is very different from the asparagus that I used to have back home. And so how you do it is you have it with carrots, and they're all like diced like lengthwise, is at least how I used to have it. And then you'd have after meal snacks. Usually in my home we have something called kolo, which is basically barley, but it's roasted over fire, and you have it with peanut and sunflower seeds. Sometimes people add chickpeas to it too to give it some more flavor, so that would be like an after meal snack. And then you'd have tea with it or coffee. We're also like a very huge coffee drinking culture. Yeah.
Sean, what do you think about like the soup culture here? Do you like
have you... The soup culture here is really, really horrible. So I've been here last 3 months, and I did 2 dining halls here, and now the soup is good, you know. And I heard there's so many good food in your home countries. And how do you think about those, all the things here, all the food here, like pizza, hamburger, something?
I mean, I don't think that I have tried them. Like, ever since we got here, except for Io, I don't think I ate any pizza because I was sick of it during Io. Oh. So I haven't. No, I always just go for the vegetables that they cut up, and like if I don't like love what they give us, then I just eat vegetables by itself. So I haven't really like tried them that much. I don't know about you, Elda.
Yeah, I feel like I've had the pizza so many times from Marquee and Upper. It's like for being exposed to new, like I feel like this is a world of globalization. So I feel like we've all been exposed to the type of foods we were told to expect certain types of food. So coming in, we knew what kind of foods like we would expect, but knowing about what you're going to eat and actually being for like eating it every single day is a very different experience, especially when you come from a very different culture. So for me, the experience was, I had a great time around the beginning. I was like, oh, this is exciting, this is new. I was very open to trying new food. But then as time went on, it became like less and less comforting. So I feel like the culinary experience has some sort of comfort attached to it. So I'm pretty sure we all have some sort of comfort food, which is something I would like to ask about. But then when you start eating it every single day and you start feeling homesick, you start thinking about the food. So it's like, that's the first thing I thought about. I was like, oh, the food is very different. And also something I whined about to my parents for the first 3 weeks was the coffee. So we're a very, we're a huge coffee drinking culture. And the coffee is usually very, it's black, it's bitter, it's like espresso style. And it's served in like these tiny little cups. And it's like so much caffeine packed into a cup. And I like my coffee black, hot, and very, it tastes very good. And then I came here and the coffee was very thinner than what I was used to. And it didn't have that specific taste that I was used to, like, drinking every single day. And at that point, I was a coffee addict. So, like, for the first 3 weeks, I'm like, why are they putting milk in the coffee? Like, that's different. I just want the black coffee. And then I had tried an Americano, and I was like, this is not what I was expecting at all. So I just got my own coffee maker and started my own making my own coffee. But the coffee was definitely something. So I think, going back to my previous point about comfort foods, what are your guys' traditional comfort foods, and what are the type of foods that you've found here to be more or less comforting and, like, reminding you of home?
Okay, so actually I eat a lot of McDonald's in China, and McDonald's is very famous in China, so, and the traditional food type of our country is like, we have lots of dishes that many people eat them together. So, and here we just, so it's different culture, and every people just get their own foods and their own dish and go to their own table and eat food. We may talk to each other, but we enjoy our own food. And so, yeah, so that's like, you know, China, I feel it's more warm. It's like, we can talk to people, and it's a very big table. We have like 10 dishes here, then we can turn the table around. So everyone can taste different dishes, and, you know. So I think that kind of culture is, I like more, yeah.
Did you find anything here that it's like kind of close to this? Like kind of?
Oh yeah, so American people really like Chinese food, but they like American Chinese food, not Chinese food, you know? So it's like, the famous one is the orange chicken. Yeah, so it's sweet and spicy at the same time. So we have a similar dish like that, but we usually don't make chicken in that way. So maybe just spicy, but it can't be sweet, you know? That's so weird.
Yeah, that makes sense. So for me, actually during fall break, I found a restaurant, like, I don't know, like 20-ish minutes away from here, by car, obviously, because we're in the U.S. and it's a Hungarian restaurant, and I was lucky enough to go there, and it was actually really good. Like, it was traditional Hungarian food. Obviously, not the same because the ingredients are not the same. So, many things are grown differently here, and they just generally taste differently. It happens. But the idea behind it was really there, and it was a really cool experience for me. So, that was definitely comforting. But other than that, so one of the most famous dishes that people here in the U.S. know about, that is Hungarian, is goulash. Sounds weird. But if, like, when people think about it here, they think about it as, like, a stew, like, as a U.S. stew. Not this, like, the best thing. But actually, it's a soup originally. So it's very different than what people envision here, which was very interesting for me. So, I don't think that I will see anything that is, like, relatively close to something that would be comforting here in the dining halls, but, or at least not on the menu so far. It hasn't been on the menu so far, but I do feel like that there are a couple of... Also, we wanted to talk about, like, Garlic Fest and, like, maybe Bacon Fest as well. So, my experience during Garlic Fest was that there was a stand where they sold another traditional Hungarian food, which I was so surprised by.
Oh, that's exciting to find in a Easton, like a small city. Like, it's like 20,000 people.
Yeah.
You would not expect. That's really cool.
Yes, it was amazing. It was also my birthday, so like it happens. It was so lucky.
That's double miracle.
Oh yeah. It definitely was. So it's called langosh. It's basically like, I don't want to say like, it's like fried dough, but it is. It's like a fried dough, and then they put sour cream, garlic, and sometimes they put cheese on it. I'm not sure if this one, I think this one had it. And there were like, this is like the most traditional way of serving this, but there were like other like sweet mixes, which we don't do at home. But here, obviously, the U.S. needs sugar, so, you know. But, yeah, I was just wanted to put that out there to see, like, did you guys go to, like, Garlic and Bacon Fest? What did you guys think about it?
Yeah, I go to the Garlic Fest, and then I tried the garlic ice cream.
How was it?
It's just two very different things. How did they put them together? You know, you're thinking about that. So you're curious and you try it. You say, oh my God, they really don't match. They really don't should put them together.
Yeah. So I had midterms, both Bacon Fest and Garlic Fest, like the Monday. I didn't get to go. But something surprising I heard from my friend that went to Bacon Fest is that she liked the bacon flavor ice cream.
Oh.
I just don't understand that.
I know, right? It's mind-blowing, but people tend to like these foods. So she told me it was applewood smoked, and it was very creamy, and it was also maple-flavored, but apparently it all made sense. So, like, maple is supposed to be something that's sweet. Bacon smoked with applewood is, I assume it's very savory, but with all creamy and ice and, like, a very cold, it all ended up working out, which is very surprising to me. But I would say, so we talked about a couple of things from our countries and how they're done differently here. Sean mentioned orange chicken. You mentioned, like, sweet daws. I feel like it's kind of good, and this might be a hot take, but it's kind of good that people kind of, tailor the food, like the food and the culinary experience from directly the traditional ones and tailor them to the taste in different countries. In my opinion, it makes people more open to try several different cultures, even though you know it's not the true authentic experience, but it kind of exposes you to a different sort of culture. So one difference that I found is, so I mentioned earlier that I eat the pizza at Upper every time I resort to it. The pizza I used to have back home and the pizza I have here is very different.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Ethiopian pizza, I think they kind of put the Ethiopian experience into it. Also, something I wanted to mention, goulash, we used to have that at home. My mom used to make it. So for us, it wasn't like soup kind of thing. So we have this spice, like kind of like paprika. It's called berberi. So my mom used to put that on it. And I feel like that made me, I don't know, want to try it. So if you were to give me like the authentic goulash and like help me try it, I would be most likely like open to try it because I know a certain version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what is you guys's opinions about, you know, like tailored food, some food that might sound weird, like I don't know, maple apple wood smoked. It sounds weird saying it too, but sometimes weird combinations do work out. So what's your opinion about like different cultural foods being tailored to tastes around the world?
Now I feel like, I don't know why this chair keeps squeaking. It's horrible. I feel like it's a good, kind of like a middle ground, to really, like get people to try new things. But also at the same time, like for us, like, as like international people here who would kind of look for these, it's a little bit disappointing at times, I think.
Yeah, I'm not one to say because I've not been to an Ethiopian restaurant here yet. But my sister tells me it's different. I've had injera baked in the United States, actually. It tastes different. It tastes very different. It's a bit more tangy, a bit more sour, I would say. It's a bit flakier, too, I guess, because I think it's because it's a deep freeze. Mm-hmm. You have to thaw it out to eat it, but it's different, but I don't necessarily think... It's, like, not comforting. It doesn't automatically remind me of, like, the exact taste I used to eat at home, but I don't think it's bad. But I haven't been to the restaurants yet, so I'm not one to speak.
Yeah, no, I think that it's, like, a really just a good middle ground. Obviously, it's not going to be the same. Like, even if, like, you cook it here, it's not going to be the same, probably.
Yeah.
But, like, it's good enough.
Yeah, it's close.
It's close, yeah, close enough.
Okay, so orange chicken, when I first tried it, that seems really, really weird. But when you try it more times, you kind of accept it.
Yes, yeah. Acceptance is a good theme. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I eat Five Guys one time and a lot of the burgers. And I heard the milkshake is really famous, so I tried it. They add bacon in milkshake. And
bacon in milkshake?
Yeah.
Sounds like a bacon face thing to do.
Oh, yeah, that's a bacon face
thing. It's really, really weird. But yeah, I had some chocolate, some strawberries, some vanilla, and then add them together. The milkshake actually tastes really, really good.
Oh! Yeah,
the bacon doesn't show its own characteristics so much. It shows how sweet the sweetness of the drink. And I love it, so you should accept more things, try more stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like for people who are watching this, I guess this is good recommendations. Try a bacon milkshake, guys.
Like, when you were explaining this, I was thinking about, like, this sounds like a pregnancy craving.
It does. Yeah, it's very weird. I feel like people have had positive experiences with bacon. Like the bacon ice cream, we've had bacon milkshake now. But something like Sean mentioned that I want to kind of talk about is the acceptance theme. Mm-hmm. And you get kind of acclimated to things. So even though, like, there was a common theme of frustration because we did not get exactly what we used to get at home. I think, like, yeah, we've kind of, as your time goes by and you start eating it, I think you kind of end up liking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, or at least, like, getting used to it. So, like, I eat eggs now.
Oh, okay, that's a big one.
Yeah. It took me a while, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So I think we all have different cultures. We are going to America right now. Then we just kind of adapt to American culture. So it's like food culture is a very important part of our own cultures. And I combine both American food culture to Chinese food culture. So yeah, allow that part actually.
Yeah, so we all kind of get used to it. It's acclimating to things. I feel like, so it kind of works the other way around as well. I've talked to Ethiopian people who've lived here for a while, and they have had the quote unquote American version of Ethiopian food for a really long time. So now when you try to give them the authentic Ethiopian food, they just can't handle it anymore because it doesn't taste the same. So comfort is actually what we kind of you get used to.
Yeah.
So once you try and go back and try the authentic or, like, quote unquote, the baseline of the food and the taste that you're used to, that can get weird, I guess. Yeah, and so speaking of weird food,
yeah, I was just about to start with that.
What is, like, we've talked about bacon stuff, we've talked about garlic face. Easton is a very foodie place, I guess.
Yeah.
we have farmers market.
Yeah.
So we've talked about it a bit, but what's, like, weird food from your culture that would, like, give a culture shock to people here? And what's one food that when you came and you saw gave you a culture shock?
Okay, so one thing I'm thinking about is fried stinking tofu. So it's like when you go to a snake street, you always see it. It's black outside, smells really, really bad. But when you taste it, it's actually really, really good. So we add some spices, and it will be really good to taste it. And lots of people don't want to try it because it smells so bad, actually.
Wow, okay. Yeah, it's not what you smell, guys. It's what you taste.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
And what's something that gave you a culture shock here?
Culture shock here? Actually, not a lot. Because as I mentioned, we have McDonald's, we have KFC in China. So it's like American culture is kind of goes into our my country. So I try hamburgers, I eat pizzas in China. So I don't think it's a very big different cultures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, for me, like, one of the biggest culture shocks here, and then I will get to like Hungarian weird food, was, so here it's like taco soup, and like the other day I saw like cheeseburger pizza. I was like, oh, what is that?
Cheeseburger.
Like pizza. I don't like, those are separate things. Sorry. Those are separate things. Yeah. Also like taco soup. There's also like cheeseburger soup or something. It's so weird. And I am not against soups. I like soups. Like, we eat a lot of soup at home. But taco soup, I'm kinda against
that. I won't eat that.
I'm kinda against it.
Yeah, it kinda reminds me, there was this startup that was kind of blooming in Ethiopian business. It was called Burgeriza. So basically, you know, like the insides of a burger, right? Without like the sandwiches part, the bread part. They replaced the bread with pizzas. So it's basically the insides of a hamburger, but instead of bread you have pizza.
Why?
it was even the name of the place was called Burgeriza, so people would go there and eat. And I tried it. It wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot of flavors to absorb at once, but it wasn't bad. But yeah.
But also like oil, I feel like it's way too oily.
It's greasy. Like definitely, greasy. You can't eat all of it, but it's not bad on the mouth.
Yeah.
The taste.
I just can't imagine eat them together, you know, just supposed to be separate things.
Yeah. But once again, I think the common theme of our conversation is that no matter how weird food sounds, applewood smoked bacon ice cream with maple,
whatever,
that worked. So yeah. What's weird food from your culture that would shock people?
So, something that shocked one of my friends from here was that cottage cheese is a little bit different at home. So, it's not like, it's a little bit more like solid. Because here, it's basically like a mixture of sour cream and cottage cheese, which is weird as well. And we make this dessert with cottage cheese. It's like balls that we like kind of boil and then we put it into breadcrumbs. It sounds weird. It's amazing. It's really, really good. And another thing is that we don't put sugar in our bread. So here, the bread is sweet. It's so sweet.
That's interesting because the first thing I said when I got here is that bread doesn't taste fresh. So we have bakeries. Every time you pass by, like, one neighborhood, you get this wafty smell of, like, bread. But supermarket bread, for me, tasted a bit different than the type of bread that I was used to. But I wouldn't say it was sweet for me. I think the kind of bakery bread I had was salty.
Mm-hmm.
But this one just wasn't sweet or salty. It was just bread, you know, like plain.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, especially like bagels for me and like just like basic like toast bread. Or I'm not sure how you call it.
Yeah.
But I definitely like, because I used to like bake bread at home. So like, it was something that I was involved in, or like I did it when I was at home, and I for sure know that I didn't put any sugar in it. And then for me, it was just like, honestly, like, it's just still sweet. And I looked at the ingredients, and it had sugar in it. And I was like, yeah, well, this is the U.S., so I should have expected this. But still, so like, I don't eat bread either because it's just, like, yeah, I've gotten used to eggs, but not bread. And also, like, overall, bread is not that important for me. Like, as Hungarian, it should be, but it's not that important, at least. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like I've mentioned the food that normally shocks a lot of people is the raw meat. People here eat raw fish. I feel like sushi is a very popular culture with, like, raw salmon. But raw beef is just not something that people are used to.
I mean, if you think about, like, steaks, it's, like, almost raw.
It's almost raw, but, like,
not completely.
Completely raw. So, complete raw meat, I don't like the taste of it. It's an acquired taste. You know, like, how coffee and cheese and wine are, like, very acquired taste. Raw meat is also very acquired, and it tends to be liked by a wide range of people. But if it doesn't have spices, it just tastes like blood to me. Yeah, it just
doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's like irony.
It tastes irony if you don't put enough spices in it. And I know this is a very hot take because I know people like really like it, but people don't eat it alone. So you have to have like a multitude of spices. One of those is like a homemade kind of mustard. It's called Senafit. It's really spicy. It comes through your nose. Like you feel the spiciness through your nose. And the other thing is like this paste thing that I talked about. It's made with berbere. It's called awaze. So people like dunk it in completely before they have it. And people like it. So it's a kind of a holiday retreat. It's a very like, you don't eat it every day. You eat it like once or twice a year. But people kind of like that taste. So that's something that would shock people. For me, the culture shock here has been the general taste of food. I'm used to spicy food. Like, a lot of food has, like, a lot of spices. So, eating, like, less spicy food with, like, less spices, that has been different and something I wasn't used to. I'm also not a very huge salad person, but salads are also taste kind of different for me. So, like, I kind of expected it, but like I said earlier, like, knowing that you have to eat it versus actually eating it are completely two different things. It was not that big of a shock, but it definitely was something. Yeah.
And I want to add one more weird food from my country. So it's fertilized eggs. Yeah. So it's like the little chicken has grown up like 10 to 20 days in the small egg. And then our hometown is called Nanjing. Lots of people like it, and I just can't eat it because, you know, when you open it, you can actually see the small wings about the chicken and the small egg. And then you use soy sauce and put some spice in and eat them. Oh my god, don't let me see it, okay?
Okay, that kind of gave us a culture shock. This is,
and we haven't even been there.
That actually shocks me.
We're talking about being accepting.
Yeah, so much for talking about acceptance.
Yeah,
here we are, like mouth wide open. We're all shocked, but
we spat each other.
Yeah. Wait. So, what is, the food that you dislike the most from your country?
Ooh, my mom is gonna come at me for this one. Beetroots. I genuinely don't like beetroots. They're just, so they're made usually with potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beetroots, potatoes, and it's a stew. And for me, it's too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't feel right. I feel like what makes it weird is that you have this like sour spongy raid that I mentioned earlier. It's goenjera. And it's, you have to eat it with something that's, like, relatively sweet. The sour and sweet combination, it just doesn't work well in my mouth.
Mm.
And so I had to make a beetroot a couple of times. For me, it feels like diving kidney.
Whoa.
And speaking of kidney, people eat fried cow kidney. It's actually my favorite, but.
It's your favorite?
Yeah. Favorite? Yeah, it's a breakfast food. Like, people, like, dice the kidney, and then they fry it with, like, spices again.
Interesting.
Yeah, but the smell of beetroot, it just doesn't sit right with me. And my mom, I think, I'm going to confess that I've told my mom that I was allergic to beetroot so that I couldn't eat it. She believes me to this day, and I haven't had to have it, but beetroots is it's completely not my thing. Yeah.
Okay, so me, as I mentioned, just further as that, yeah, just kind of safety. So though we taught a lot of acceptance, just, no.
Man, there is a line which actually we just don't accept.
Yeah. We all have boundaries.
Yeah.
The way we say it.
Yeah.
How about you?
I was thinking, actually, I am not 100% sure. Maybe, like, technically, we have, like, a stew with, like, rooster heart or something.
Ooh, or that's like, a favorite for us, too.
Yeah, like, with, like, the whole of the rooster. Like, everything that rooster has, it just goes into the stew. Yeah, well, that's not for me.
Do the feathers go in?
Oh, no, like, without the feathers. Ha ha.
You said the whole of the rooster. I have okay. to ask.
Yeah, no, that's on me. or like,
yeah,
like some people eat like the thighs of like frogs, like they fry that.
Oh, okay.
Like I don't like.
Have you ever had it?
Honestly, not 100% sure. I think so, but I think I was like small, like little.
Oh, so you don't remember the taste?
The only thing that I remember is that, like, I think that I had it, and then I didn't like it, and then that kind of stuck in my mind that I just don't like it, so I never tried it again. But also, a side note, my sister loves frogs, so, like, that was a crime to even think about it. Like, it was her favorite animal, so... That's why I'm, like, debating whether it really was frogs or not. Yeah. It definitely wasn't something that my mom made. It was, like, somewhere else.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you guys have, like, to soak up the alcohol? This is very off topic, so we might have to resolve this later, but, you know.
I think the earlier thing I mentioned, like, the snacks with, like, barley and sunflower seeds and stuff. Yeah, that is a very popular, like, alcohol side dish that people eat. I think it's the only one. Honestly, that's the thing that people eat. Maybe peanuts.
Yeah. For us, especially in the countryside, they eat, like, it's a bread, and then you put grease on it.
Oh. What kind of grease?
Like
animal fat? Yeah. It's like lard?
Probably.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not 100% sure, though. Like, it's been a while since I had that. But, like, they would eat that, and they would eat, like onions with it, like, raw onions with it. Maybe that's something that I don't... That is weird. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, raw onions. Speaking of onions, I don't... Like, I like onions, and I like them in certain settings. But sometimes they just annoy me. Like, you're just eating something smooth, and then there's this that crunch that comes in. So, like, I have a love-hate relationship with onions, but...
Yes. Yeah. So, about peanuts, we also eat peanuts with alcohol. So, it's like we fried the peanuts, then we add some salt with it, then we put them, you know, together, then we drink alcohol, then eat peanuts, we can talk about it for the entire night.
Yeah, so fried peanuts. I've never heard of fried peanuts. I've heard that people fry dough with peanut, like peanut butter inside, and it's like it's supposed to be like a donut, but it's like peanut butter filling. Mm. I've actually tried it once. It was not good. I mean, for me, it was like when we talk about food, like we have to make sure that like it's kind of subjective, right?
Yeah.
So for my taste, it was too much Greece, it was too much, like, it was too nutty for me. But I can kind of see why people would like it. It's like almost having a Nutella flavored, like Nutella filled donut, but for people who like peanuts and like nut stuff, that would be like a really good.
Yeah. So someone says that American people put peanut butter every food, and the wine is Oreo. They use Oreo with peanut butter. Oh my gosh, it's really, really weird. So I decided to try it. And it turns out like it's kind of good for real.
Yep, acceptance again.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's just us getting to know things here, trying new stuff, yeah. And then figuring it out. I feel like.
Yeah.
I think that's all for today.
I think that's all for today. So anyone who listened through the whole thing, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And then we'll see you next time.
Yeah, if you guys have any, I don't know, questions, comments, you can find us. Concerns. You can find us on campus. We are very free to chat about food. And until we see you guys next time, have fun and have a blast. It's Thanksgiving a few weeks later, so Thanksgiving will bring up a lot of festivities. Yeah. There's roasted turkey, food stuff. Yeah. I feel like the holiday season is very emphasized here. I can't wait until Christmas and, like, I get to experience the kind of Christmas I've been looking at movies. Yeah. It's also going to be my first snow experience. Side note, but...
Right, yeah. That's so exciting.
It's very exciting. So Thanksgiving, there's food. I'm really excited to try pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've been really wanting to try, and all those like pumpkin spice lattes
Do you like pumpkin stuff?
I've never had pumpkin like flavored stuff before.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of excited to see. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
And happy holidays to everyone who's watching holidays. See you guys next episode.
Yeah,
have a good day.
Thank you for joining us on the Global Expressions podcast, presented by the EAB Center and CETLS. We appreciate your time and we look forward to continuing these global conversations in our next episode.